Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We praise you that the word of God is a living thing. And as we come before it, we ask you, Father, to strike that hot fire of your word tonight that causes it to come alive inside our spirits and flame through our minds and go through our bodies in the form of our faith and in the form of the anointing of God and in the form of the love of God and course through our beings, bringing us to a place of recognizing that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and bringing us to such a flood of God's anointing power that no sickness, no disease, no sin, no fear, no demon, no wicked spirit in heavenly places can stand nigh this dwelling in the name of Jesus, because of the power of the word of Almighty God. Father, I pray that. I beseech you for that, sir. I petition you for it. And according to Mark 11:24, I believe that I receive it, therefore I shall have it. In Jesus' name, and I praise you, sir, and I thank you, sir, in Jesus' precious, holy, blessed, powerful, wonderful, wonder-working name. Amen. The kind of faith that pleases God is the kind of man, the kind of woman that walks in constant faith. Consistency, regularity, constant, stable faith, Bible living is what pleases God. And I'll tell you something else. Consistency is the key to power. Don't ever forget that in your Christian life. Consistency, staying on the word at all times, responding to God instead of responding to circumstances, responding spiritually instead of responding in the natural, responding in faith instead of responding in fear, responding in love instead of responding in hate, responding with God's power, always looking to God, always turning to God instead of the circumstances. Every one of you, when somebody says, "How are you?" don't ever say, "All right, I guess, under the circumstances." The circumstances don't have anything to do with it. They may look like they do. If you will allow it, circumstances will rule your life. But if you will consistently, continually, always answer every doubt with God's word, always answer every symptom with God's word, always answer every situation with God's word instead of what you think it looks like, and you will learn eventually that God will begin to control your circumstances through you instead of circumstances controlling you. And someone will say, "How are you?" And you'll say, "Great," before you even have time to think about the third circumstance. Somebody says, "I don't see how he can say great. I happen to know he's got all kinds of trouble." Well, I'm not moved by trouble. I'm moved by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. One thing we have to think of continually when we're walking consistently in faith is the fact that we are reborn people. We're not the same old people we were when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. We've been reborn. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We may look the same, but I'll tell you what, you stay in the Word a while and you won't even look the same anymore. That's right. You won't even look the same. God's word will change your looks. And I'll tell you what, it'll make you look a whole lot better too. Praise God. You just get better looking every day. You need to remember to look at yourself through God's eyes. How do you do that? Through looking at the Word of God. Look what the Bible says about you instead of what the world says about you. Look at yourself through the eyes of God. If God says I've been made His righteousness, then that's the way I want to consider my life. Now I realize there are some people that are really going to get upset with you if you go around saying, I've been made the righteousness of God. Oh,
what did you say?
I've been made the righteousness of God.
Oh, how could you say that?
Why, we're just old sinners. I am not. I was an old sinner. Thank God Jesus' blood was shed for me. I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And the Bible said, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. We are in him. I realize people don't like that kind of talk. But I'm not talking for their benefit. I'm talking for God's benefit. Hallelujah. And if God paid the price for me, then I'm going to stand up for that. Praise the Lord. I'm not bragging on me anyway. I wasn't the one that went to Calvary and paid the price. Jesus did. If we're going to brag on anybody, we're going to brag on him. But yet, right on the other hand, if I'm going to brag on what Jesus did, then I'm going to have to stand up for it and claim it as my own. Isn't that right? I can't say Jesus died for me, but I'm no good. Now, was his blood any good or not? Does the Bible say that we've been sanctified through his blood? Well, if that's what it says, then bless the Lord God, I'm going to claim my sanctification. I'm not going to go around saying I'm not sanctified after I've made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, when the Bible said his blood has sanctified us unto God. Through his word. When you begin to claim and receive by faith is when the reality of it begins to take hold in your spirit. The first time I realized that 1 John 4:4 was a reality that says, you have overcome evil spirits, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I begin to realize God's on the inside of me. I begin to realize the devil didn't have any weapon on his whole staff that could put down the weapons of my warfare, which are not carnal, but powerful through God. And God was in me, and Satan has already been overcome. And I started talking like that. I started going around saying, the Creator dwells within me. That's God inside me. And I began to realize, and I changed my prayer life. I changed the way I began to think. Saying that changed my thinking. I used to pray this, oh God, be with me in this time of trouble. Oh God, woo, he long ways off. God, be with me on this trip, please. But I began to confess, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The great one is in me. It changed that prayer. It not only changed it, it got rid of it completely. I no longer said, oh God, come be with me. I began to say, thank God he never leaves me nor forsakes me to the whole end of the world. Hallelujah. He's in me. The great one is in me. Come on, God. We're going over there together. Hallelujah. I stopped considering failure when I began to realize that when I went, God was going with me. I stopped considering failure. So all of the time, to walk in constant faith, you must continually remind yourself you are born again, and you must begin to look at yourself through God's eyes instead of the way the circumstances say. I'll tell you something now, really. Somebody comes up and said, was that a black man? I said, I don't know. I didn't ask him. Was that a brown man? I don't know. Why don't you go ask him? Well, mister, you hadn't got good sense. What are you talking about? Well, I mean, are you an American? Are you a Filipino? Just what are you? I'm a Christian. No, I mean your nationality. I used to be an Indian. I used to be a Cherokee Indian, but I've been reborn. Now I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. That's my nationality. Now don't misunderstand me, brother. I'm an American. I love my country. I'd die for my country in a moment's notice. I wouldn't even question it. I'd die for my country. But I got some news for you. You know what? I'd die for yours, too. You know why? Because I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. You got a piece of my heart. You and I are in this thing together. We are kin to one another. More than a skin kin. We have the kindredship. We are citizens of the kingdom of Almighty God. We're in this thing together. Hallelujah. We happen to be blood of one another's blood. We're bone of one another's bone because we are blood of Jesus' blood and bone of His bone. Hallelujah. It goes deeper. It goes deeper than what language we speak. It goes deeper than our cultural backgrounds. A man asked me one time, said, "What's your background?" I said, "Sinner." And thank God it's over with. My background's gone. It's been washed in the blood of Jesus. Now people call me a nut. Well, I may be, but I'm not sick. And my bills are paid. Huh? And I've got the joy of the Lord. And I know where I'm headed. And I got a good idea where I've been. Now, if that's crazy, don't bother me. I'm enjoying being a nut. But a Jesus nut will always be. Somebody that's nuts for Jesus is going to make it. Always make it. He'll always make it. Somebody asked me one time, said, "What if you did all that faith stuff and died anyway?" I said, "Hey, man, I don't ever want to die not doing faith." Think about that. You don't ever want to die not believing God. Well, man, if you died, somebody did you a favor. We got it made any way you go. Jesus is our victory. Jesus is our life. Jesus is our way. Somebody said, "There ain't no way, man. What are you talking about?" That's Jesus' middle name. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus' name is the way. In fact, if you want to know the truth, that's the way to always tell. It's the devil talking to you when you get to thinking, you know, there's no way out of this. There's no way to do this. I can't do it. There's no way. Jesus said, "I am the way." So thank God we had it made. We had it made a long time before we really knew it. We've got it made with our faith. But we have to constantly remind ourselves of these things and remind ourselves from the Word that these things are true, that we are born again, that this is not a religious idea, it's a fact. Something happened to me when I made Jesus the Lord of my life. It's not just a state of mind. It changed my state of mind. Something happened to me. Something happened down on the inside of me when I made Jesus the Lord of my life. It's a fact. It's a reality. It's real. All right. We are kings and priests. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. You ought to read this book sometime. We win. The believers win. The world loses. We win. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to wait till you find it. I want you to read it out of your own Bible. Some of you wouldn't believe it unless you read it from your own Bible. It's so outstanding. Did you come ready to shout tonight? Huh? You got your jumping shoes on? This will make you jump and shout and run around in circles if you're not careful. This is so exciting what we're about to read. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the firstborn of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Did you catch that? Kings of the earth. Not just kings that have died and gone to heaven. Kings of the earth. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, so far, you know, we haven't had a hard time with that. I mean, as born-again children of God, as church people, we've all, most of us at least, have been willing to say, oh, thank God he's washed me in his blood. Let me see how many of those that believe you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. May I see your hand? It's almost everybody in the room. Thank God that blood cleanses white as snow. We've been washed in the blood. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Well, now, wait a minute. You can't believe the first half of that verse without believing the last half of the verse. If you've been washed in the blood, now look, he washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God his Father. You came to Jesus as a sinner. You came to Jesus unworthy. You came to Jesus no good, without one price, without one plea. You came to Jesus in sin. But thank God he didn't leave you that way. Jesus had you washed in his blood and presented you to the Heavenly Father. He presented you to God Almighty as a king. You've been reborn, glory to God. You're not an old, dirty, unworthy worm of a sinner. You're a king and a priest unto God. And that's the way God sees you, as a king and a priest. And Jesus is the prince of us kings. He's the king of kings. Glory to God. And I'm one of them little kings he's king of. And so are you. Now that's going to hit some of you on the way home tonight. And you're going to be riding along there and thinking, I'm a king. Oh, I'm a king. And you're going to do like I did one day. I walked up in front of my little shack. I walked up in front of that place and I looked at that house and I said, kings ought not live like that. That doesn't look like a king lives in that place. I don't know a king in the whole world that would even, why, they wouldn't use that thing for firewood, much less live in it. And I've been living in this place. I'm a king. Look just like this. I look like a bum. A king going around dressing like a bum. I went to the Lord. I said, that isn't right. Kings ought not dress that way. And God said, I know it. He said, I know it. I said, well, what's wrong here? He said, well, you've been willing to accept it. You didn't know you were a king. You didn't act like a king. You don't talk like a king. He said, you ought to tell the devil you're a king and tell him to get off of your finances and get off of your house and get off of your clothes. And he said, I'll get them too. He said, I am the king of kings. He's the big king. You're the little king. But you're a king. You're a king, and a king is a king. I don't care what anybody says about it. A king of the smallest little nation on earth is still a king, and he's treated like that. Amen? You don't treat a king like a bum unless the king don't know he's a king. A little king, a little baby king. You know, a prince. I mean, he's just maybe just a little boy. His daddy's king of the whole kingdom. And here's this little boy. Just a little kid, you know. He's got school teachers. He's got somebody that takes care of him, you know, and tells him what to do. But they tell him very nicely because his daddy's king. You don't slap around a little king. I don't care if he's not but 5 years old. You don't kick around a little king because one of these days he'll be the big king and you've had it. And when the devil finds out that you know you're a king and you know that God knows you're a king and you know that God knows and the devil knows that you're a king, and you turn on him and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the big king and the little king are telling you to get. He won't fool around with you. He'll get.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He has made us kings and priests unto God. I want to read you a scripture that the Apostle Peter wrote. 1 Peter, the first chapter. That scripture said, we are kings and priests. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal. What does royal mean? King. A royal priesthood. Everybody that's in the body of Christ, every person that has ever made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, I don't care who he is, I don't care how old or how young, every person, I don't care if he's a preacher, I don't care if he's a shoe salesman, I don't care if he's a soldier in the army, if he's made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life, he is a royal priest unto God. Hallelujah. You are something special if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. God doesn't love you because you're something special, but you know what? You're something special because he loves you. You are special because you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and don't ever let anybody tell you you're not. Anybody that Jesus died for has got to be special. And the worst bum in the whole world, the meanest thief, the worst robber, the worst sinner, the worst in the whole wide world is special in the eyes of God. And all he asks us to do is say, God, I receive Jesus as my Lord. Jesus, forgive me. Thank you, sir, I appreciate you. Now make me a king. That's all it takes. And instead of a thief, the thief has died. And there has come into life a royal priest that can go directly to God. Think about that. You can go straight to God in the name of Jesus, and the Heavenly Father will hear you pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a privilege. A royal priest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, it's a thrill. We need to remember that we are in Christ Jesus. We need to continually remember that we have been redeemed by God. God paid a terrible price for us. He paid a terrible price for our being born again. He paid a terrible price for the peace of our minds. And He paid a terrible price for the healing and the welfare of our bodies. And He paid a terrible price for us to be able to prosper regardless of where we are in the earth. We can prosper in God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. And a born-again child of God can be prosperous any place on earth. I don't care where he is. God will take care of you if you learn who you are in Christ Jesus. And constantly remember that. Now, if we are going to live by faith and walk by faith and be consistently in faith, then we must make two firm decisions. Two very firm decisions. A quality decision. Let me tell you what a quality decision is. The word quality means of high grade, high quality. A decision that has quality in it is a decision from which there's no turning away. Now, here is a decision that has no quality. Well, I think maybe I ought to fast Sunday. I think maybe God probably wants me to fast all day Sunday and not eat Sunday. Now, you know what you're about to do with a decision like that? All you did was tell the devil what you're thinking about. Before Sunday is over with, you will eat from 5 to 6 of the biggest meals you have ever had in all your life. Because there was no quality in that decision. Everything you see will tempt you to eat. And without a decision of quality, you'll eat everything in sight. You'll succumb to every temptation there is. Well, you know, I think probably I ought to pray a little more than I have been. You're about to watch more television than you ever watched in your life. But now here's a decision of quality. Father, I have determined in the name of Jesus that with your help, food will not enter my mouth this Sunday. I will fast all day in the name of Jesus. I declare it by the power of God, and through God's help it'll be so. That's a decision of quality. And when you've made that kind of decision and made that kind of declaration, nobody could cram food down your throat. You made a decision of quality when you decided to live for Jesus. And did you notice, once you decided to make Jesus the Lord of your life, all the devils in hell couldn't stop you? Huh? That decision was stronger than the devil himself. If he could have stopped you, he would have. If he could have killed you a moment before you got saved, he would have done it. But all the devils in hell couldn't stop the new birth once you made a decision that you're going to be born again. and you made up your mind, I'm coming to Jesus, and all hell couldn't stop you.
Glory to God.
In order to be consistent in faith, we need to make the decision. Two decisions, remember. One, we need to make a firm quality decision to live by faith. Not just use faith when a disaster comes, but do everything by faith. Make a decision to live by it. Make a decision that faith is my way of life. A lot of people have two ways. They think, well, you know, I could get it God's way, but then on the other hand, I could go over here and get it this way. But a faith man doesn't even have two ways. He doesn't have but one way. I'm going to get it with my faith. I'm going to get it from God. God and I are going to do this thing together, or I'm not going to do it. There are some preachers, some pastors, that try to build a church out of a lot of hard work. Which is good. Work is hard. Work is good. And try to build a church on being real friendly. And build a church out of social activity. We got a baseball game on Monday night. We got a basketball game on Tuesday night. We got a ladies' social on Wednesday night. We got a prayer meeting on Thursday night. We did get prayer in there one night. You know what I'm talking about. All kinds of things going on all the time. Very little of it has anything to do with building your faith in God and building a Christian life and becoming a viable, powerful testimony in your community. But then there are other pastors, like many of those that stood in here tonight, I venture to say most of them, a bunch of them I know are, that have made up their mind, I'm not building a social club. I'm not building a society place where people can just come play around. I'm building a place on prayer, and thank God for the hard work. But hard work without spending those hours on your knees, brother, won't get it done, because prayer is the way the power comes. Prayer is what opens the door, and praise keeps it open. Praise God. And that's a man and a woman that says, I've made a decision. I'm living by faith. I'm building by faith. I'm walking by faith. There are some people that don't ever even think about faith until they get real sick. See every doctor in town and have 9 doctors tell you there's no hope. Maybe I ought to pray. That's not living by faith. Faith is not an escape hatch. Disasters come like that to Christian people, and most of them don't ever get out of it. Like one fellow said, what are we going to do? The other one said, maybe we should pray. He said, has it come to that? Too many people have the idea to try everything else first. When the Bible said, brethren, I exhort you, first of all, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made. Make the prayer first. One guy said, God, bless my plan. The other guy said, God, what's the plan? You get the plan from God, it'll be blessed. Amen. Are you seeing what I'm telling you? Make a decision to live by faith. Have your life sustained by faith. Now, when you come to that point, I'm born again. Yes, I know that. I'm a king and a priest. Yes, I know that. I am in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, amen. I know that. I've made the decision to live by faith. Yes. But what is the other decision that I must make? Without making this decision, the faith won't work. The new birth won't work. The healing won't work. Being in Christ Jesus won't work. What could be so important that it all hinges on it? It all swings around it. The Bible says faith works by love. Do you remember what 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, says? Even though I have faith and have not love, it won't work. Even though I have tongues, I speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, it's just a lot of loud noise. So you see, the gifts of the Spirit won't work without love. Nothing works without love. You know why? God is love. Faith doesn't work without God. Say, God is love.
God is love.
Say it again.
God is love.
Say, love is God.
God is love.
Now, somebody said it backwards. Love is God.
God is love.
God is love.
God is love.
Is God.
God.
Is love.
Is God.
Is love. See, God and love are one and the same. When you said love, you just said God. God doesn't have love. He is love. So our decision must be to live by faith and to live by love. You can't live by faith without living by love. And you can't live by love without living by faith. You have to operate in faith to live by love, because you can't love everybody because they're not all lovely. And you have, if you're going to live by love, you got to love the ugly ones just the same as you do the pretty ones.
Hallelujah.
You got to love the ones that don't treat you very nice. Jesus loved the thief just the same as he did the saint. And said when they killed him, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. So how do you love somebody that's unlovely? You have to do it by faith, brother. You have to do it believing God and say, well, I'm going to love the stinker anyway. I'm just going to love him anyway. Now, open your Bibles to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John, little John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. How many of you believe that everybody should keep the Ten Commandments? Raise your hand if you believe that. If you believe everybody should keep the Ten Commandments, raise your hand. Don't any of you more than that believe that? No wonder you got so much trouble. We ought to keep the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Thou shalt not covet your brother's wife or his goods. And so forth and so on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And so forth. We ought to keep the Ten Commandments. When God gives a command and gives an order, we ought to keep it, don't you think? Don't you think God knows what he's doing? When he says do something, don't you think he knows what he's talking about? Certainly he does. Too many people want to ask God why all the time anyway. If God tells you to do something, don't ask him why, just do it. You do it and he'll tell you why. All you need to remember about why is he is smarter than us. He knows more than you do. He knows what makes your life work. And God will never do anything to hurt you. Anything God tells you to do will make you free. It'll never hurt you. God will never hurt you. How do I know that? God is love. Say it again. God is love. Say it again. God is love. What is God?
Love.
What is love?
Love?
It's getting through to you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
All right. 1 John 3, verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, as he gave commandment. Now, he said right there that he has made a commandment to us. He said we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus, and we should love one another as He gave commandment. Why would God make that a commandment? Why would He say, you must love one another? He could have said, now it would be good for you to love one another. That's the way we received it. You know, we say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all love one another? That's not what God said. He said, do it. He wasn't teasing about it. He said, I command you to love one another. We said, well, we will if we can. But you don't know what they did to me. Let me read you something. You don't need to look this up. I just want to read it to you. It shall come to pass. Now that's strong talk. God didn't say it might come to pass. God didn't say it could. He said it will come to pass. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord God to observe and do all His commandments which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Have you been having any of God's blessings chase you down in the street? Have you been getting healed faster than you can get sick? Have people been chasing you down in the street trying to give you money? Saying, whoo, the Lord wanted me to give you this. Say, Lord, no, brother, didn't nothing ever like that happen to me. Well, it will if you'll start keeping His commandments. The blessings of God, He said, would overtake you. Overtake you. That means the blessings will run faster than you can run, brother. However fast you're going, the blessing of God will be right there on you. They threw Joseph in a prison, man. Threw him in jail. And the blessing of God came right in that jail and overtook him and made him head of the whole prison. Not too long after that, they let him out of jail, and he became prime minister of Egypt. I mean, man, in a jail one day, and in the White House the next. I mean, in the palace the next day, man, he was assistant to the king of the king of the kings. And there were men walking along in front of him wherever he went. Wherever Joseph went, there were men walking along telling everybody, bow down, bow the knee, bow the knee. Last week he was in jail. And now they've got men hired to go in front of him saying, bow down, can't you see who's coming? Can't you see Joseph? He's got talk about being blessed. Well, I sure don't ever have that kind of blessing. Well, you just told me you're not keeping the commandments of God. Look what he said. You shall be blessed in the city. You shall be blessed out in the field. You'll be blessed in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. You'll be blessed in the basket. You'll be blessed in the store. Now listen to this. You'll be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out. That's all the time, any way you look at it. If I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out, and I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the country, that's blessed. I mean, that's blessed all over the place. Blessed in your basket, blessed in your store. I mean, they can't steal it from you fast enough, brother. I mean, you'd be blessed faster than they can take it away from you. One guy steals one pesos, another will hand you 100. The blessings of God. Why? Keeping the commandments of God. Now, We have 10 commandments in the Old Testament and one in the New. That makes 11 commandments. But if I keep one, I can automatically keep all the other 10. If I keep the commandment of love, then I won't kill you. I can't love you and kill you. If I keep the commandment of love, I'm not going to steal from you. If I keep the commandment of love, I'm not going to covet your goods. If I keep the commandment of love, I can't have any other God before me because God is love. Isn't that rich? Now, what happens when I do that? If I keep the commandment of love on my mind constantly, that it is a commandment, when I receive it as a commandment, when I receive it as a command from my God is my general, and my general has given me an order, and he said, you love. And I say, yes, sir. Yes, no, yes, sir. That means I'm going to have to love you however you act. But you know what that does for me? That doesn't give me any excuse to break that commandment, so it keeps me blessed all the time. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. You read on down there, and you find out you're blessed in business, you're blessed in your food, your children are blessed, your farm is blessed, your house is blessed. It'll just keep getting so blessed, you have to get a bigger house, and a bigger house, and a bigger house. You just keep growing when you're in God. Well, that could never happen in the area where I live. You just try it and see if it doesn't. You'll go to getting so blessed, it'll move you out of that area. Abraham got so blessed, they had to ask him to leave the country he lived in. He had so much stock that all, his stock was eating up all the grassland in the whole nation. They had to ask him to get out. How would you like that, to be so blessed the whole nation of the Philippines couldn't hold you? You get that blessed, and there's some other nations in the world that'll take you. I guarantee they want you. This one will keep you. You get that blessed, and brother, they'll be looking you up. They'll be wanting you over here across town. They want you to run some things when you get that blessed. That's what men are looking for, is men and women that have the blessings of God on them. And the way to get it, walk in love. Love, the Bible says, never fails. You know how it can say that? God never fails. And God is love. So God never fails, love never fails. A very good friend of mine, he coined this phrase. And it is so good. Well, actually, he didn't. His dad did. His earthly father lived to be 104 years old and was in good health when he died. And he said, love is beyond defeat. You cannot defeat love. Love is beyond defeat. But the only way you'll ever live in love, and the only way you'll ever walk in a place beyond defeat and not fail, is to make the quality decision to keep the commandment of love. It has to be a commandment to you. It has to be where you say, this is a commandment to me. I don't have any right to break it. I will not kill, and I will not break the commandment of love. I will not steal. I will not lie. I will not covet. And I will not break the commandment of love. If I make it a commandment to my own mind, if it's a commandment in my own thinking, then I don't have to worry about all the rest of it. Because if I have the love commandment on my mind, then I won't steal, I won't kill, I won't lie and bear false witness against anybody. Amen. Can you see that? All right, now I want to show you something about the power of the love of God. Let's stand up on our feet. First, I want all husbands and wives to catch hands with one another. All husbands and wives catch hands with one another. Now, I don't care what you've been doing today. I don't care how big a fuss you had. You get her hand. You hear me? Get her by the hand. Husbands and wives, catch hold of one another's hand. Now, I want everybody to bow your head. I want everybody to close your eyes. Husbands and wives holding hands. Now, husband, man, you squeeze her hand and let her know you love her. And if you're standing there thinking, I don't love her, do it by faith. It's a command from God. You do it whether you like it or not. Well, yeah, Brother Copeland, but you don't know what she did. Well, it's your fault. You're the man. You take the blame. Let's end that strife between the husband and the wife right now. And wife, you squeeze back. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Mama, you squeeze his hand. Now, both of you say out loud with your head bowed, I love you. Say it again. I love you. I love you with the love of Jesus. All right, now catch hold of everybody's hand. Everybody catch hands with one another. That person on each side of you, I want you to squeeze their hand. Just as an act of love. I don't care whether you know who they are or not. You squeeze their hand. And say, Lord Jesus, I love this person.
I hold this person up to you
for your blessing.
I know you love them.
You love them with all your heart.
I know you love me, Jesus.
And I love this person.
Both of them.
I love them. Oh, can you sense that? Can you sense how strong it got in here all of a sudden? You see, the devil doesn't have any, he can't stand up against that. God is love. God is love. It begins to melt bad feelings in a person's heart. It begins to drive out things, and love begins to flow again. All right, now turn loose one another's hands. Husbands and wives, I want you to hug one another, and I want you to tell one another you love one another right now. Do it right now. Hug one another's necks. Hug one another. Now get a hold of your children and hug them. Get a hold of your children and hug them. Children, you hug back too. I realize in a public place like this, a lot of times a lot of people are stiff about this and don't want to do this. But now listen, we're Christian people. We're born again people. We've been born of the love of God. The Bible says God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's God in there, and that's love in there. And if we'll let it come out and begin to show it and begin to love one another, we'll stop having sickness, disease, trials, temptation, sin, all that junk will leave. Now, the husbands and wives and the children have hugged one another. Now, everybody hug one another. You hug somebody. And you tell them you love them. Whether you feel anything or not, you tell them you love them. You love because it's a commandment to love. If you see somebody just standing there and nobody's hugging them and they're still so timid they won't go hug anybody, you go get them and hug them. I want everybody hug before we get out of here. Ooh, there it is again. The power of God. God's power. God's power. God's power. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
This concludes our audio presentation. Thank you for listening. You're invited to visit Kenneth Copeland Ministries on the World Wide Web for information on other ministry products, the Believer's Voice of Victory webcast, and information on how to contact the KCM office nearest you. Simply point your browser to kcm.org.